Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Jeremiah and chapter 15. And in our study of Jeremiah, its relevancy, because the outworking of human history is governed and guided, and the motion is involved by Israel. And Israel, the outworking of Israel's relationship to God, and that's in the center as history works itself out. And Israel's unbelief ends up with the Assyrian captivity and ultimately here the Babylonian captivity. And Israel is not believing. They will be, but not yet. So therefore, as we've been reading, God, because the prophets all rise up because of unbelief. If there was belief, if people were believing, you wouldn't need the prophets. You wouldn't need them. You needed the prophets because people weren't believing. And God awakened, sent them early, rising up early and staying up late with the prophets to encourage and help Israel if they would but pay attention. But they aren't going to. Now, in the process of all of this, God reaching the world, God reaching Israel, and then God reaching individuals. And God is very much not locked into the big picture. He's locked into the little picture. And all you got to do is go through history. There's an Abraham, an Isaac, a Jacob. There's 12 tribes of Israel. And then there's the prophets within it. And there's David. And you go, but the big group of people? Very rarely. Very rarely. Well, so God, as you do your work, you reach not only the overall picture that you're doing, but you are developing and encouraging individuals, men and women, boys and girls, to look to you. Now, here's Jeremiah, a person in a case in point, and he is being exercised. God raised him up to be a spokesman in Israel. He's there. The judgment, as we have shared all the way along, is unavoidable. You can't get rid of it. It is absolutely imperative that the judgment take place and will take place. So in the light of that, and here's Jeremiah. Where are you located, Jeremiah? You're located in the midst of the city, in the midst of the people. Does that make a difference? You have your compatriots, Ezekiel, over there in Babylon now, in the middle of the 5897 and that. Daniel's been over there since 605. So here's Daniel and Ezekiel, and they're in a whole different setup. They're the prophets. But you know what? They don't have anywhere near what Jeremiah is facing. Jeremiah is smack dab living in the middle of a cesspool. He isn't able to write about it or read about it or go take and get a picture of it or a report. He's in the middle. He's in the middle of the battlefield. He isn't at headquarters. He isn't back in the recreation area. He isn't where the supplies are. He's right in the middle of the thick of the blood and guts in the battlefield. That's where he is. You need to know that. It makes a difference, you know. It's one thing for you and I to read and hear about something, and it's another thing to go through it. You can always talk about it, and rightly so. But until you go through it, you don't know yet. You don't know till you went through it. That's when you speak with oomph, because you've been through it and succeeded. Now, so here's Jeremiah. That's important because you need to understand God is got a man smack in the middle of the problems, in the disaster, in the unbelief, in the hatred, in the hostility. He's right in the middle of it. That's very important. Now, and having said that, and he represents God right in the middle of it. So therefore, boy, light in the middle of the darkness, and the darkness hates the light. Now, just want to hold your finger here, and just to remind ourselves, over to Ezekiel, if you would, chapter 22. Ezekiel in chapter 22. And reminding us, and may I just run it by very quickly, but just to remind you and myself, Ezekiel chapter 22, God, I'm just going to give you the conditions, who is involved in being a problem in Jerusalem. I'm going to ask Jeremiah. Jeremiah, would you please tell me, in all the people around you, who's the good guy? Who are the good guys? So we're going to go to Ezekiel to get a report. Chapter 22, verse 25. There is conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. You can keep reading, but just get that. The prophets, this is a conspiracy. Verse 26. Her priest have violated my law and profane mine holy things. So we got the prophets and the priest. Now we got the princes. Verse 27. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey and to shed blood. That's the princes. That's the leaders. Now to the prophets again. And her prophets have dubbed them with untempered mortar, a seeing vanity, etc. Verse 29, and the people, everyone else, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, etc., etc., etc. So, everyone. So, Jeremiah, if we're going to look, tell me among, from the top to the bottom of the people, from the prophet, the priest, the princes, the people, they're all in the same boat. So are there a lot of people that can come up and say, have a good day and hang in there? Nope. Back over to Jeremiah chapter 15. And in Jeremiah chapter 15, if I can, remember we shared together in this verse, Jeremiah, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me. And visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. All right, we did all each of those, so we got the personal application to our own life. Now, the second part of verse 15. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. So, first part, take me not away. Don't in the process be taking me away, haste, to hurry away, to take away quickly. Don't do that. Don't do that, God. Don't do that. Don't take me away in thy long suffering, anger, the length of thine anger, as it were. It's a Mediterranean Semitic word. It has to do, which all of them, Arabic and all of them the same. It means snorting, growling, smoking nostrils of a bull about to attack. It's that word. God, don't take me away in thy long suffering, in your length of thine anger. Your anger is awful long and awful heavy. Don't take me away. Now, what are you saying? Usually we want to get taken out, right? But he doesn't want to get taken out. He wants to stay right in it. Hang on. And God is going to honor it. God is going to do it. God is going to have him right there through the thick and thin. Now, in order to get that, yeah, you would understand that. If you were watching a some event, a sports event or something, and you were watching it, and it has a little bit of life to it, and activity, and you were watching it, and it was the middle of the game process, and they're both going back and forth in the game. Are you interested in seeing who wins? Do you want to see who wins? Would you just turn it off? You're watching the movie, the man is jumping off the cliff and without a parachute, going 10 miles down, and you're trying to see, does he live? Does he live? Don't you want to see whether he lives? You want to see whether he lives. Jeremiah, I want to see. I've been in this much of the game. I'm in the thick and thin of it. I want to finish. I want to see the end. I want to see the end. That's what he prays. God, help me to see the end. And God is going to do that. And just case in point, turn to chapter 16. And chapter 16 and verse 9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes, and in your days, the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride. Jeremiah, I'm going to let you see it. In fact, it's Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in, strip the land, and Jeremiah is still standing there. He sees the whole end and the after results. He's right there. Doesn't go away, stays right there. Wow. And he lives a little longer now. Now, having said that, here's the anger. So you want to catch that flavor of that over, if you would, in Jeremiah chapter 4. And you'll pick up the anger, this long suffering, the length of thine anger. And you'll pick it up in chapter 4, and you'll see it moving, working itself out. Verse 8. For this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl. Why? For the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. So Jeremiah is quite with it when he says, God, I want to hang in there in the midst of your long being angry. You aren't quitting. You aren't slowing down. No, I'm not. Over, if you would, please, to chapter, to do it easy, chapter 7, and again in verse 20, chapter 7, verse 20, a little word, the flow of the word, the movement. Verse 20, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger, there you are, and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, upon beast, upon the trees of the field, upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. In other words, boy, am I going to strip this place down, and it's going to be ruined. You won't even recognize it when I'm done. Nebuchadnezzar is going to do this, and I'm going to let him do it. And the city is going to cry out, Lamentations, the end of Jeremiah. Lamentations, chapter 1. And in Lamentations, chapter 1, here's the city personified, made as if it was alive. The city's going to cry in the light of all this. Lamentations 1, verse 12. It is nothing to you, all ye that pass by. Behold, see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. And here's Jerusalem, after it's all over, and Jerusalem says, I'm in ruins. Take a look at me. Why? God, your fierce anger did this. What do you want to see, Jeremiah? I want to see the end. I want to see, I've been there, hang on, it's going to turn around and have to help him, because God is raising up a man, in this case, to learn to walk with God. You know, it's one thing to meet God and go away. It's another thing to stay with God as you go down the corridor of time. That's a different ball game. See, we got a need, we pray for the need, got it, and then we're done. That's one kind of thing. To walk with God, that's another. And you got to get educated to walk with God consistently. And that's God. It's a wonderful section now. I only can do part of it, but it's a beautiful section actually. Now, so in the light of that, back to chapter 15 of Jeremiah. Take me not away, verse 15, chapter 15. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. I want you to know that for your sake, God, it's account of you that I have suffered. Now the word suffer there, you have to get a little help with the word. It means to ascend, to lift up, to elevate, to exalt, to lift up, and then to lift up a load. You would bear the load. The word, to suffer. I have, in your name, God, I'm carrying this load because of you. Now, and you'll see it, just so you get the word, over if you would chapter, if I can, 17. And in chapter 17, verse 21, thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day. In other words, don't be carrying something around on the Sabbath day. And the word B-E-A-R is the word suffer, to lift up, to bear, to carry. And you'll see it again in verse 27. But if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day and not to bear, B-E-A-R, a burden, bear a burden. It means to carry. So back over to chapter 15. For thy sake I have suffered, I bear, I am carrying. What are you carrying, Jeremiah? I am carrying rebuke. And the word rebuke is the word to be rebuked, to be shamed, the object of scorn, reproach. Rebuke, reproach. God, because I'm carrying your name, who you are, I represent you, and everyone is after me because of that. If I went down the street with the in the right place, I was going to say in the old America. If I went down the street with a swastika and a big flag, waving it, would they take note? They'd take note. When you walk down the street, carrying God's flag, the flag, it's the opposite of what we are. So we aren't happy with that. Jeremiah, that's what you're doing. You're going down, and everyone's looking, and you're bearing the rebuke, the shame, the scorn because of it. Aha, I am. Chapter 6, and in verse 10 of Jeremiah, you'll see the word. Chapter 6 and in verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning? Why? That they may hear. Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. There's your word. They have no delight in it. The word, if they don't want your word. Jeremiah, you are holding up God's word. And therefore, Jeremiah, you are bearing the reproach, the shame, the scorn, because you're representing the Lord God in all that you do. And a way now to make it even more personal for us and more a little bit more helpful, over to Psalm 42. And picking up, remember the word is intensive now, to bear that. Psalm 42, picking up, in the light of everything, going to, let me do verse 3 first. 42, 3. My years have been my meat, food, day and night. My tears have been my meat, food, day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Sliding over to verse 10. As with a sword in my bones, as with a sword in my bones, a sword in my bones. That's not comfortable. Mine enemies reproach me, there's your word, while they say daily unto me, all the time, where is thy God? Where is thy God? Where, not your religion, not what church you go to, not what background you are, where is God, the person? Where is this person? Where is this person? And they continually say it to me over and over and over again. That's what they're saying. They want to know where my God is, and our God, Psalm 115, our God is in the heavens doing whatsoever he pleases. Wow. So now, there they are. Now, here's Jeremiah doing that. Over back to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah in chapter 15. So Jeremiah wants to be around and wants everything to work out so that he is there in the end of the game to see it. Wants all see how he's hung in there. He wants to see the end of the game. Now, that's a wonderful thing, but he's going to have to learn a few things and be exercised in order to get there. Now, so having said that, you now go to verse 16. His encouragement. Remember, he's bearing the shame, representing the Lord, representing God's point of view, what God's doing and not doing and going to do. And verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Now, thy words were found, and I did eat them. So why are you in this place that your people, the people are looking to kill you, they're looking to get rid of you, they're very hostile against you. And in the process, they're in judgment, you're telling them day in and day out the judgment, and you're doing it year after year, you're telling them, so it isn't a couple of days. I mean, you're really doing this, and it's a long-standing thing. Why couldn't it be shorter? But it isn't shorter. Now, so the encouragement that he has that stimulates him, and it goes with it. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. So in Jeremiah, you're looking, and you took God's word, and you eat them, the word to eat, consume, to digest, to receive them into your heart, as it were. And so Jeremiah, you took all those words in. And that's a wonderful thing, Jeremiah. Over in Babylon is another fellow that we looked at, and that's Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel, God, and Daniel, you guys are getting, God's dealing with you guys, and the book of Daniel, the book of Ezekiel, you guys are getting it too, just like Jeremiah. So here's Jeremiah, and thy words, I did consume them down, and they were joy and rejoicing to me. Now, Jeremiah, you're going to have to be educated, and so is Ezekiel. Now, in order to put that afresh in your mind, go over with me to Ezekiel chapter 2 again. Ezekiel in chapter 2. And Ezekiel's assignment, remember, was to speak to Israel in Babylon. And Ezekiel chapter 2, picking up, if I may, I'm going to go, if I can, chapter 2, verse 8. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious, like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. God said, I'm going to give you what I want. And when I looked, said Jeremiah, I looked, Ezekiel, behold, a hand was sent unto me. And lo, a roll of a book was therein. So here's a hand, here's a book, verse 10. And he spread it out. In other words, he opened the book up, so I'm looking at the book, page by page. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without on both pages, right on both sides of the page. And there was written, what is it, a good story? Is it a funny story? No, the story is about lamentations and mourning and woe. A very sad book, very discouraging book, very difficult book. Ezekiel, is this, you're going to deliver that. That's what I'm going to have. Jeremiah, you're delivering it and you're eating it. Aha. And it was my joy and joy. Well, here's Ezekiel. He has to eat God's message in to him and through him. Chapter 3 of Ezekiel. Thus, in the light of lamentation, mourning, and woe. Chapter 3, verse 1. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. Eat the roll and speak. Eat the roll and speak. Remember the word, God's word. I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. I ate the roll. God told me, and I did it. I took all those words into my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And he said, verse 3, unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful sweetness to it. Wow, wow, awesome, awesome things. God's wonderful future. How God's going to fix everything. How God's going to fix the wrongs, destroy the bad guy, make everything come out right. Oh, wow. Make everything feel good and work out good. That's wonderful. It is. But do you understand how it's going to go? Therefore, sweet as honey, verse 4. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee into the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. And thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech, but of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. No, you didn't. You went to your own people. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. If I sent thee to the middle of no man's land, it would have been quite different. But it's not going to be that way. So now, here's all these words. Verse 10. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive thee into thine heart, and hear with thine ears. So you're going to take them all in. Wonderful, wonderful words. And verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning for me. So it's about warning. It's about that. And I'm going to take all of these words in. Now, all of that's wonderful. But in the process, it's warning, lamentations, and mourning, and woe, and sorrow. You understand what you're doing. Wonderful work. But you understand how it's going to work out. I want God's will for my life. I want all of those. I want heaven, God. I want all the glory. Well, then do you understand what it's going to take to get there? How it's going to happen? So that's Jeremiah, and here's Ezekiel, and here they are, looking, looking, and looking, and looking. Now, in the light of that, you can turn there, why not? Over to Deuteronomy and chapter 32, I think. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And you'll get the flavor of it. Chapter 32, verse 43. Rejoice, O ye nation, with this people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. He will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto the land and to his people. Well, the merciful, but before that, there's avenge the blood, and vengeance to the adversaries? That's not easy, no. Verse 44. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea, the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel, and he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe them, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life, and that through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. So you grab and eat that word, you assimilate it, digest it, let it become part of your system. And when it's part of your system, it is going to be, so when people look to you, deal with you, commune with you, communicate to you, what are they going to do? They're going to find you and God's word, because you assimilated it. It's part of your life. It's part of your makeup. How are they going to talk to you without talking to the truth, to God and his word? Because it's all in you. You've assimilated it, absorbed it. That's where the power is. That's the authority. I don't have any authority up here. Neither do you. No offense. You only have authority when God is in it. Otherwise, it's just words. A whole bunch of words. That's all it is. A wonderful lesson. No authority. The authority that backs up this is God. And we have to be looking. God, you got to make it work. It isn't a little picnic. And that's what bothers people. That bothers them. You see, if you just give a nice thing of 3 points, then I got it. But see, that isn't what it's about. And that Jeremiah, what are you trying to learn? You have to learn it. You have to learn what? God said, listen, I'll put you in the middle of it. I'm helping you. And Jeremiah, as you'll see, rises up and he's flowing and growing as we've been doing. And he's doing. But you know pretty quick, he's going to drop to the bottom. To the bottom. Wow. Can't go much lower. Going to go to the bottom. Has to go to the bottom. That's the only way to go up. He has to be humbled. He has to understand the reality of the realities. You have to understand them. They're real. That's what it is. And Jeremiah, you're in the middle of it, but you got to put the two together. Eat my word, which is going to what? Help you understand reality about God, truth, sin, suffering, sorrow. It's going to help you understand and the world and the unbelief and the hardness of heart and all of these things. So now, and the words that I give are not vain, Deuteronomy 32. Over, if you would please, in your Bible to John chapter 6. John in chapter 6. We did all these things, but just to remind you. And in John chapter 6, you know it, God, the Lord Jesus says it very succinctly, quickly. Chapter 6 and verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickens to make alive. It is the Spirit that quickens and makes alive. The flesh profits how much? The flesh profits zero. Zero. Nothing. Nothing means nothing, so you don't have to sit and fool with it. What about this? And you can't say what about this. Because if it's of the flesh, it profits nothing. So it doesn't matter. Well, this is how I feel. Zero. This is what I think. This is what I did. This is what... Zero. When you're all done. When you're all done talking and debating and justifying whatever we try to do, he said it's zero. Without me, 100 ways to say this, without me you can what? Do nothing. What do you think that means? Without me you can do nothing. Nothing must mean nothing. Well, but, that's what offends us. Because why do we have to, why can't we, we're somebody, well, we're people who we are. And thus, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. And remember when we did all this stuff? that God's word like seed, hits the ground and hits good ground, and man, does it flourish. God's word is pregnant with life. Each phrase, each word, the words are inspired by God. The words. God inspires the words. So God, they're your words. And God said to Jeremiah, to Ezekiel, to all of them, eat thy word, eat my words, eat my word, eat my words. I want you to digest them, assimilate them into your system. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I don't sin against you. So I'm getting it a little bit. But God, it gets there. But you know then, when I get it down, then I find out that the people around me, the world I live in, work, home, school, play, they don't understand those words. They don't want those words. They certainly don't want you, God. And so when I absorb your words, they become part of my life. And my life changes. It has to change a little anyway. And it changes. And the people don't like that. Think of Peter and all of that. They don't like that. Why don't you like our jokes? Why don't you like the way we eat and drink and come and go and play? No, I don't. I just don't. Oh, boy. So God, if I eat your word, it's a wonderful words, but the reality is something else. And God said, that's what you're finding out, Jeremiah. Ezekiel, you're finding it out. That's right. That's if you're going to walk with God down the corridor of time, you're going to have to understand. You want out in a little fairyland. You're in the middle of the thick of the war and the hostility. The dirtiness of it all, the unequalness of it all, the unfairness of it all, you're in the middle of it. The reality of it. And you've got to know how to handle that. I didn't take you out of the world, I left you, what? In the world, you understand? I left you in it. Okay, now, having said that little bit, over to Revelation. And you know it. Revelation chapter 10. And here is our last living apostle, John. And John, and you aren't giving the book of Daniel, that's Daniel's job. You aren't giving the book of Ezekiel, that's Ezekiel's job. You're bringing the last book that brings together everything from Genesis all the way to the end, and how it comes to a grand super conclusion by tribulation and Antichrist. Wow. Oh. So now, Revelation, boy, and John, here you are delivering that, the Apostle John. So here, John chapter 10, as he delivers the messages to the churches, chapters 2 and 3, etc. So now, he's still going, and God is bringing more, and he writes. John takes the pen and is the penman, and he writes. So here's Revelation chapter 10, and picking up if I can. Now remember now, the angel, seventh angel sounded, etc. And John, you're going to go to the trumpets, etc., and you're going to leave them. And thus, verse 8, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book, angels, this is the little book the angel has, which is open, in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and I said unto him, give me the little book, because John is going to honor God's word, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be sweet in thy mouth, sweet as honey. So again, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, now God, you're saying it, only this time you reverse it, so we see what's the effect? All the time, Jeremiah, it was sweet, wasn't it? Ezekiel, was it sweet? It was, boy, wonderful words. Heaven is my home, wow. Wow, that's a wonderful thing. Wow. But it shall be bitter in your belly. And, verse 10, I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues, languages, and kings. John, you aren't finished. We got 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, all the way to 19 to 21, 2. We got all these chapters finished. We aren't finished yet. Sharpen your pencil. And you thought it was finished, did you? It isn't finished. Not yet. And you haven't even touched it, because here's the first 3.5 years, and they're devastating for the whole globe, right? And then in the middle, it becomes awesome, doesn't it? Awesome. If you thought the 3.5 years were terrible, when everything is judged, I mean, grass, everything, people, wait till the last 3.5 years. Wait till they occur. What are you going to do then, John? You're going to write about them. Aha. Uh-huh. And John, you'll get the words. It's awesome to, we, I love, remember, you ever hear people say, I would love to understand Revelation? Ever hear people say that? I would love to understand Revelation. My question, if that were true, why isn't Revelation taught? Why is prophecy not taught? Why is Daniel not taught? We don't want to know. We don't want it. And you don't have it either. Where are you going to go to hear it? I don't know. Not there. You're not going to do it. No one wants to hear that. It's the reality. Wow. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians in chapter 3. Now you would recall, in the light of Jeremiah, you have to turn there, Jeremiah 15 and 16. Jeremiah said, thy word was unto me joy and a rejoicing of my heart. He was all excited about the word. And we ought to be. The word is exciting. God's, what he's doing and what he's going to do, it's exciting, it's awesome. And a joy and delight, absolutely. But you know the reality of it is it's wonderful to be saved. To really be saved and know the Lord as your Savior. But if you really, really understand that more and more, better and better, then you understand that all the other people that don't know him are lost. They're lost. Children, family, husbands, wife, brother, sister, they're lost. What do you mean lost? Lost. They can't make it. Do I want to think about being saved? Not too much. Because then the reality of that, I look around and I realize the realities are there, and it's bitter to my belly to have to think of it. It's wonderful that you saved me. But when I think of it, I think of it to the world around me, and we did all this to help our children and everybody to get there, and we want, and it comes out to zero. You're lost. If the Lord were to come, what happened? Nothing. You're lost. The reality of that's hard, isn't it? We don't like to think about that. Well, they're nice. They read the Bible today. Oh, goody, they're saved. No, they aren't, because they read the Bible. They ought to read the Bible, don't get me wrong. But that doesn't make you saved. You have to have know the Lord as your Savior. So here, think of Jeremiah and Ezekiel and John, the Apostle John, and you and me. And here's the Corinthians. Now, Paul, the Corinthians have a lot of different problems they have to solve compared to some, but they have them. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3 may pick up in verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For how so? For as much as you are manifestly public, clear, plain, simple, you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. You Corinthians are living letters. You're walking around. Remember we said in Ezekiel, eat the word, and then it'll come out of you. Eat, digest it, assimilate it, and it will come. And you'll be there. But you're going to understand the reality of that, that the people around, the light is going to, as long as we try to hide and cover us over, then the light is covered and we can walk among the darkness and no one bothers us. But if the hood is off and the light is on, when we walk in darkness, we're well marked. Everyone knows. There comes the light. There goes the light. We're well marked. So God, we don't want to be well marked. We want to sort of hide out instead of just relaxing. Simple thing for each of us. If you just relax and enjoy being saved, enjoy being God's own precious, prized, privileged person, and relax and do that. In every place you go, you're going to relax. You aren't trying to make a big deal about everything, you know, hand out whatever. And you're doing what you do, and the light is going to be there. But God will honor it, and you'll get along pretty good. Every now and then it'll hit something, but not often. And you're going to have that, and that's good. So you don't ask for trouble. You just be a little light. That's all. Here's these lights. They're just little lights. And, you know, we're going to turn out the light, and it'll all be dark. But if we had another way to do it, it wouldn't save any electricity. If we could put a mask cover over each light, it would be dark. The light would still be on. The darkness would be here, but the light's still on. And God, here we are. That wasn't a very good illustration, but got the idea of it. So God, here we are, living people, believers. Believers are supposed to be little lights, Philippians 2. Believers are supposed to be little lights in the world, and that's what people look at. Now, so here we are. Here's God's word. Now, you know, as we shared a long time ago, and it's true, in West Africa, there is a little fruit tree, and the fruit tree is made of such a way. Miraculin, it's a carbohydrate, is part of it. Miraculin, Miraculin, that's a part of a carbohydrate, and it's a fruit tree. It's a very special tree, well known, and if you eat this fruit before eating, and you can eat bitter things and everything. This fruit, literally, miraculin, that will go and make everything sweet. It fixes your buds, readjusts them, and then for an hour or so, you can eat anything you want, and it's sweet. Everything is literally sweet. It makes everything sweet. That's what it's known for. It's a real tree. A real fruit. And you eat it, makes everything sweet. So take that, and then you can feed them who knows what, you know. and it'll be sweet. Wow. Wow. It isn't sweet, but it will seem sweet because you eat that. Now, God, we're going to take your word, and it seems sweet, and it is sweet, but it also is real. And the sweetness of God, the sweetness of God, the wonderment of your word must attach itself correctly to the realities of life so that the benefits can come. And in order to know the wonderful benefit of thy word, of your word, and we want to finish it off, in our heart, the realities are there. And if I'm going to walk and go to school and work and home, if I'm going to try to do it rightly, looking to you, the more I learn, the more I'm going to understand for the better, and it's all going to show itself up. So as I go down the corridor of time, I'm going to go down, and God, if people look, I'm learning, and I'm able to handle things that I couldn't have handled very well 30 years ago. Because we've gone down a little further down the road, and we can handle them better. Handle them. Is that true? As the years go by, I don't know how your growth is, growth pattern. If you go back 20 years or 10 years in your life, you should have changed enough that the same thing that happened 10 years ago happened now. Or you'd handle it differently. You'd approach it differently. Your whole world would be different. And it keeps changing. God, that's what you want. So we can, God, are you upset? Are you discouraged? Are you bothered? Never. In a bad way. Everything, you're on top of everything. That's right. So God, how am I ever going to learn that? God said it'll help you. And Jeremiah and Ezekiel and John and the Corinthians are what? Encouraged. That God would like them to grow, to know, and to show. That's what he would like. And that's what he wants to happen. So therefore, God, Jeremiah, you're going to, and he's excited about the word. He agrees. The word's a wonderful thing. And that's why we read it. That's why we're studying. We want, the word's an awesome thing. It's the reality. We're reading the book in the presence of the God of the book, and the real world is all around us. All of history, we're part of history. The past history is here, the present moment is here, and we're headed there. And we're right in the middle of it. So boy, is it relevant. Is it relevant? Yes, it is. So I want to read and understand and grow. And that's why we do it. God help us. So God, here we are, and if I had, I don't have any of this fruit. I know people that have special stuff that they have, and if you take it, if you thought, what's a very hot peppers or something? Forget, I don't know the word, I'm not into, hot stuff and all that. And you put that in your mouth, man, you'd know it. You'd know it. And there are people that can handle that stuff. Wow, I'd be dead. That's what I do. Wow. And they can just take that down, big globs of garlic straight from the thing. I mean, and that's pretty good. And I just have a hamburger and potatoes, and that's it. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Understand though, it's an awesome thing, God's word. So we look to the Lord, and God help us. And Jeremiah is, we're learning how to follow through and how it's all going to work out. And it's a tough thing. And remember, there are many people now that are having a problem with this. Because they don't want to. They it can't be that. And I look around and here's this and here's this. And they can't all be wrong, can they? Can they all be wrong? Maybe we're wrong. We're always wrong. But God is never wrong. God is never wrong. And that's why we read it, and that's what it says. And that's where we stand. What did God say? That's all I want to know. And that's where we stand. Let the chips fall where they may. Wow. Anyway, so perhaps you have a particular request as we go. Remember.